Jesus Christ was God the Son, and God the Father, Elohim, stands at the head of the Trinity. Since you teach that both means two persons, were two persons crucified at Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, God the Son was crucified at Calvary. When the disciples saw both the Father and the Son, John 15:34, how many persons in the Godhead did they see? They saw two, Mr. Hicks, because there are two. Is Jesus the name referred to in Acts 4:12? If so, is water baptism limited to that name? The name in, there's none other authority under heaven given among men by which we can be saved other than Jesus Christ. And baptism is given in Matthew 28:19-20. We are to be baptized by the authority of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What is the name that is above every name? Ladies and gentlemen, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. He is the eternal, only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of God. Would you tell us how the second person of the Trinity can be the Son of the first person of the Trinity and still be fathered by the third? That's his problem. He's the one affirming that tonight. That's some more of his difficulty trying to ascertain heavenly mathematics. Who was the Father of Jesus? God the Father or God the Holy Ghost? Which person? Please tell us. The Bible says, Mr. Hicks, he's the only begotten Son of God. Thank you.
Now I'm going to give Brother Hicks some of my time. All right. Are you enjoying this? Gentlemen moderators and honorable opponents, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for the last opportunity of coming back to you tonight. And peradventure, some of you think that I might have been a little disturbed while ago. I wasn't. I was just obeying the rules of debate, and I was inferring and insisting that my opponent do the same thing. See, after you've done this for a few years, you know when they break the rules, and it's my job to point it out to him tonight because I'm in the affirmative. Doesn't mean that it's personal, or I'd think any less of him, or I'm not in the least bit upset nor worried about my proposition. I just wanted him to answer the questions before he sat down. And that's what I did, and I expected him to do the same thing. Of course, every time he comes back here, he talks about what an awful failure Mr. Hicks is making. That's whistling in the graveyard to keep his courage up. That's one of the old adages. Even reflected on my size. I've had people in debates to threaten me. I've had phone calls threatening my life. I've had them to take the lugs off the wheels of my automobile and everything else, hoping I'd wreck the car before I got home. Now, Mr. Hill doesn't want anything like that to happen to me.
That's right.
And I don't want anything like that to happen to him. We're not in this kind of a fight. And if we couldn't have a public discussion and disagree violently and still be friends, we need to pray. I want you to know the love of God's in this place tonight. And Pastor Hush said it right. If you'd raise up your hands and open your heart and get rid of all that Baptist prejudice, you'd receive the Holy Ghost right now. And the very idea of Brother Kelly coming up here and said a sister was saved by professing faith last night. My God, that's what the devil did. That didn't save him. We're going to have a baptismal service over there and baptize that saved sister and the saved devil the same night. They both profess faith. You just, well, miss the meeting. It's not going to do her any good unless you use the name, because there's remission of sin and no other name. Sorry, Mr. Kelly, that's it. And then talks about my size. Said if I was bigger, I wouldn't have to have so much fire. Well, it's not the size of the dog that's in the fight, but the size of the fight that's in the dog that matters. Besides that, a dog can whip a skunk, but it's not worth it. And in spite of the fact that I begged the man to follow my proposition tonight, I could not bring him to the debate. I don't know what he's up here rambling around trying to prove. He went back and tried to fix up what he did last night. I've always believed if a man thinks what he did yesterday looks pretty good, he hadn't done much today. And I believe that the question of the baptismal essentiality subject has already been completely settled in the minds of 99% of this congregation, even in the minds of you Baptist people. And he comes back up and says, Mr. Hicks, do you believe in Christ? And if you believe in Christ, are you saved or condemned? I said, a man that believeth in Christ receives salvation. But what kind of believing are you talking about, Mr. Hill? That's what I've asked you. What kind of faith do you mean? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In John 7:38-39, he won't even allude to that verse, but it says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. That's the kind of man that won't come into condemnation. You have to believe as the Scripture has said. And the Scripture say, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, Oscar Hill, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Hobbs, Mr. Nichols, B.E. Howard, President Nixon, everybody, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And your sins aren't remitted until you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He knows that's the truth. Then he comes up here and calls me the Antichrist and then says he loves me. I can't figure him out. I'm glad I'm... I hope Mrs. Hill gets along better with him than I do. 1 John 2:22-24, and he says, this proves that Hicks is Antichrist. Well, let's turn there and see if it does. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. We have never denied the Father, and we have never denied the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. I don't know why I'm taking up my time. He went ahead and explained it. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You heard him say that. Now, let's use a little common horse sense here. How do you acknowledge the Father? By acknowledging the Son, according to the Bible. How do you deny the Father? By denying the Son and the Father. But when you acknowledge the deity of Jesus Christ, you are acknowledging the Father. For Jesus is the mighty God and the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Then he says, Hicks is Antichrist. I can prove it by the fourth chapter. Well, let's see what that says. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. So help me God, that is the position there that the United Pentecostal Church proclaims. We believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I just got through telling him I didn't believe the Son was a God apart from the Father. I believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He's the one that's making him a secondary deity and a God the Son. I'm making him the Son of God. He says he's God the Son. I'm giving you what the Bible says about him. He's giving you what the Baptist Church says about him. He's not God the Son. He's the Son of God. So who is it that's denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Certainly not us. We believe that he came in the flesh. That's why he died, because he had a body that God the Spirit had prepared to die on Calvary's cross. He says that as the Son of God, he was deity. He's the one that believes that deity died at Calvary. He's the one that says that he didn't come in the flesh. We believe he did come in the flesh. So I'll let you determine who is Antichrist. Certainly not us. We're the ones that believe he came in the flesh. All right, then he went to John 17. See, I have to follow him. He won't follow me. That's a shame. In an affirmative debate, I have to follow the negative speaker. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, but I'm not afraid to go anywhere, touch any verse it brings out. John 17, Jesus said, glorify me, Father, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. He said, what was that, Mr. Hicks? He heard that that was the Son back there that was much younger looking. And he then the... who had long gray whiskers and he was older. Who ever heard of a son being as old as the father? Who ever heard of a son without a mother? Well, now he says that that who was with him back there, Mr. Hicks, the firstborn of every creature. Was Jesus born before every creature? That's scriptural language. Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. But it was in the plan of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I stood here like a man. And I told this audience about Ephesians 1:11. I told you how we were chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. I told you how the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. I told you how that God speaks of things that be not as though they were. I told you how God said, let us make man in reference to the flesh that would come 4,000 years later. And that's the image that Adam was made in. I gave you Romans 5:14, the verse that proves it. And he wasn't touched top side of the bottom of it. I say he concedes the proposition. He's lost this debate when you can't answer a man like that. Glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. What kind of glory was that, Mr. Hill? Have you ever read in the good book that says, my glory will I not give to another? Now they're passing glory around. The Father gives the glory to the Son. The glory throws it back to the Father. What he meant was, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. What glory was that? In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. So help me, that's what I preached. He didn't touch it. He's supposed to answer that. He didn't do it. He can't do it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. One of his preachers in his denomination, so I said, what is your God? He said, a Trinity. I said, all right, let's go to John 1. In the beginning was the Trinity. Trinity was with the Trinity. And without the Trinity, not anything was made that was made. And the Trinity was made flesh. No, 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 that's not it. But I said, what does that mean there? It means Elohim, which means Jehovah God. I said, all right, who is that? He said, the Father. All right, so let's go to John 1:1 and quote it again. In the beginning was the Father. The Father was with the Father. And the Father was made flesh and dwelt. Oh, no, no, no. I said, who is your God? He said, I don't know. Neither does Mr. Neither does Oscar here. He doesn't know either. Then he told me to stay out of 1 John the 5th chapter. Said, you stay out of that chapter. That'll kill you. Well, he ordered me out of Acts. I offered to go in. I offered to get out of it if he'd go in it. He likes to go to the epistles and in the gospels, but you can't hardly get him into the book of Acts. But now he says that book will kill me. Let's see if it does. Look at verse 7. For there are three. Now if that says persons, he's got a convert. Come on, I'll let you baptize me tonight if that says persons. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father. The Word. Were you ladies and gentlemen listening to me when I asked you if your Word was a separate person from you? Did he answer it? Oh, he can't answer it. You're shot. You're sunk. You better. Mr. Hill, you're stuck. I mean, when I bring it point by point by point by point, and like I say, I'm not very smart and I'm not educated. I made 150 in each grade. But I tell you one thing, I got sense enough to know how to follow a man in a debate. And I'm ashamed that he won't come up here and answer some of the affirmative arguments that I'm making tonight. And I brought it out here that there are three, but not three persons, and he can't read it in there. None of his preachers in there. Even Mr. Hobbs can't put it in there. That bear record in heaven, the Father. What was that? His Word. Is that another person? Is your Word another person from you? And the Holy Ghost. Is your Spirit a separate person from you? Do you see the oneness there? There are three that bear record in heaven. It doesn't say three persons. There's one person with a Word and a Spirit, just like I have a Word and I have a Spirit, but I'm only one person. He knows that. That's why the verse concluded by saying these three are one.
That's it. That's right. That's the fight.
That's the fight we felt
a while ago. He'll answer me. Yeah, he will. He'll go way off somewhere else and talk about something that's as unrelated to it as the North Pole is from a goose nest. He won't answer anything. Then he went to Isaiah 9:6 and said, Hicks, you better stay out of there. Because he said, that's bad for you, Isaiah 9:6 is. What's wrong with it, Mr. Hill? Because did you go out and baptize and say, I'll baptize you in the name Wonderful? You know what we call that in debating? We call that a smoke screen. That's his Indian giving. He knows what that verse says. Unto us a child is born, and a son, S-O-N, is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, the child and the son's shoulders. And his, the child and the son, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You see, he knew what that said. So he went on and said, well, what about that, preacher? Do you call the name Wonderful? The Bible didn't say that was his name. Anybody that says Wonderful is the name knows nothing about nouns. Shame on you. Wonderful's not a name. Shame on you.
Hallelujah.
I'm surprised at a man of his ability getting up here say, why? Why, they said his name should be called Wonderful. Of course he's wonderful, and we call him Wonderful, but that doesn't mean it's his name. By the way, he's in trouble. He's in legal problems. We have the sheriff here tonight. I want you to look at this. He even put the check number, 183, in the account of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity Bank. No town. But there is a Trinity Bank. You've got some problems here. Mr. Marvin A. Hicks, $1,000, and he had the audacity and the boldness to come up here and say that was signed by Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody here that works in a bank? Raise your hand. Do you accept the check in that bank with a typed-in signature on it? No. What does it have to have on it? Does it have to have a sign? Look at it. Can you see it? It's typed in there, Jesus Christ. The audacity of a mortal man breathing God's air and eating God's food and walking on God's green earth, typing Jesus Christ to the bottom of a check. Why, he ought to be ashamed of that. But he's in trouble. You know what I got here? I will give you $50 for that hot check you got from Mr. Hill. 50 and going. you got a problem, Mr. Hill. You know good and well that you can't type the name in there and get any money to bank. If that isn't the sorriest little two-bit comeback I ever saw, I wouldn't take $50 for it. I'll put it on the mantel or put it in the study wall as a symbol of a Baptist that's running on them Dallas. He'll never get that one back. That's a symbol of defeat. Anybody that would write a check like that. So, the Godhead is simply understood as a sanity outset when you understand the truth of the book of God. Let me go to John 14. He went there, so where he follows, I'll lead him. Let not your heart believe in God, be troubled if you believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he went down to, I can't imagine him passing over what Philip said. Philip said, show us the Father, and it's the Father. And Jesus said, why, Philip? Why, Oscar? Have I been so long time with you, and thou hast not known me? Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Then look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, who? To the Spirit, that he will give you another comforter. Jesus had been their comforter in the flesh. He had healed their sick, raised up their dead, calmed their stormy seas. And now he said, if I go that way, the comforter will not come. But when I come, again, it will be Christ in you, the hope of glory, but another manifestation. And that's what we do when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No, you don't get me out of John 14. That's where I'll like to camp. And verse 26 is our verse. Then he went to Matthew, the third chapter, and he talked about the Holy Ghost being a dove. Now, that beat anything I ever saw. He didn't mention that, but that was there. He said, now there is Jesus in the water, and the Father speaking from heaven. I want you to get this picture. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in. Oh, he went over that like a horse a-trotting, didn't he? But it was that. In whom I am well pleased. Well, Mr. Hicks, the very idea, you stand up there saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and the voice came from heaven. You don't understand the omnipresence of the Spirit. Doth God not fill all space? Are the heavens not His throne and the earth His footstool? Is He not everywhere? Listen, ladies and gentlemen. My friend's doctrine denies the omnipresence of God to each person in the deity. If the Father is a person and He has omnipresence, and the Son is a person and He has omnipresence, and the Holy Ghost is a person, and He has omnipresence, it is impossible for there to be more than one omnipresent deity. And Mr. Hill knows that. Not only that, if He's not omnipresent, how can one who is omnipresent go where He not already is? I subscribe to you and I proclaim to you that Jesus Christ is the omnipresent God, because the Spirit dwelled within Him. And the Bible says the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And He was standing there talking to them while He was in heaven. But He was talking about His omnipresent attribute. Just like John 2:19, when He was dead in the tomb. The Bible said, Jesus said, destroy this body or temple, and in 3 days the Father will raise it again. Acts 2:24 said, whom God hath raised up. Of course God raised Him up. But Jesus used that personal pronoun, I, in reference to Himself as that Father that would raise up that body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. I tell you, there was a part of Jesus Christ that never went in the tomb, and that was the Eternal Father. And that's the Spirit of Jesus Christ that raised up that body that Jesus called I. Now, you come back here and explain that to us, Mr. Hill. Then He talked about the Mediator. We understand that. The flesh of Jesus, the man, the Son, is the one Mediator between man and the Spirit. That's all there is to that. We accept that. We believe in the mediatorial sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean a multiplicity of persons in a Godhead. And by the way, I want to tell you where Mr. Hill got his Trinitarian doctrine before too much of my time goes by here. Dictionary of the Bible by Scribner's, the original form of words, wherein to the name of the Lord Jesus, baptism into the Trinity was a later development. Canadian Encyclopedia, page 53. He baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the development of the Trinity. Afterward, they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. New International Encyclopedia, volume 22, page 476. The doctrine of the Trinity is not found in its fully developed form in the Scriptures. At the time of the Reformation, the Protestant Church took over the doctrine of the Trinity without serious examination. He got it from Rome. That's where he got it. At the Council of Nicaea, it became the official concept of God, and anybody that believed in one God was killed. And they still like to silence every one of us. But we're making more noise than we've ever made before. And there's a revival spreading around the world. In every account of the performance of baptismal rites in apostolic times, a much shorter formula is used. and 3,000 believers were baptized on the day of Pentecost in the name of Jesus Christ. The same formula was used at the baptism of Cornelius and those that were with him. Indeed, it would appear to have been the usual one from Paul's question to the Corinthians, were you baptized in the name of Paul? No record of the Trinitarian formula can be found in the book of Acts. That's the New International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The doctrine of the Trinity is nowhere taught in the Old Testament. The doctrine of the Trinity was adopted by the Catholic Church. The word Trinity is not found in the Scriptures, and the term persons is not applied in Scripture to the Trinity. That's in the Encyclopedia Americana, Volume 27, page 69. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that my friend's doctrine is a product of Roman Catholicism. That these men are spreading delusion and false doctrine and a concept of God that brings apostasy and worldliness. That's why you have so many ungodly, many-skirted, long-haired boys and hippies running around over the country claiming the same. Laying out half naked on these sunbathing beaches and claiming they're children of God. They don't even know the name of the word modesty. I submit to you, if you had a revelation of God and you understood the oneness of God, you'd live a life dedicated to that one God whose spirit dwells inside of your heart and you take care of him. That is the truth of the Bible. Then he went to Revelation, the 5th chapter, and said, the Lamb prevailed. Open the book. Or the Lion, rather, prevailed. Open the book. The loose the seals thereof. Then the Lamb came and opened it. So the Lion and the Lamb, the Son and the Father, got in a fight. I don't believe that. The Lamb was a symbol of the sacrifice. The Lion a symbol of the power. 1 Corinthians 15, that great resurrection chapter. Yes, the sonship came to a conclusion. And the Bible said when the Son is accepted, E-X-C-E-P-T-E-D, not accepted, but shut out, closed out. By the way, don't tell me Jesus Christ will be shut out. Turned away, done away with. No, but when he is completed, glorified, and the church age is over, then he will present that glorious church without spot or wrinkle. To who? To himself, as the one eternal God in heaven that we'll see when we get there, because we've been baptized in his name and filled with his spirit. So they confuse the Godhead. It's very simple. Here's one element in various forms. You have water, ice and steam. All three of these are different manifestations of one element, H2O. That's how simple it is. Don't let anybody ever confuse you on the Godhead subject again, ladies and gentlemen. It can always be answered by spirit and flesh. I told you Jesus Christ never prayed for the sick. He didn't challenge that. I told you I'll try again. Honestly, I'm going to try. This is the last time I'll get to try on this today. All right? Two persons with God. The Bible said, did you refer to this one, Deuteronomy 32:39? Wow. Anybody see him refer to it? Not a person in here. All right? How many believe he referred to 1 Timothy 3:16? See, I'm in the affirmative. Boy, I'm gonna explode right now and show him up. I said God was manifest in one person. That's my doctrine. He says God was manifest in three persons. And yet the three are one. Because Hicks doesn't understand heavenly mathematics. Boy, I'm glad they're not trying to get you to run that flight to the moon, mister. Heavenly mathematics. Can you even imagine such a thing as heavenly mathematics? Three persons in the Godhead, heavenly mathematics. Come here tonight and tell us how one-third of God plus one-third of God plus one-third of God equals one God. He has one-third of deity in each person in the Godhead. Or he has three gods. Now, he can forget this, ignore it, say nothing about it. But it's sticking in your mind, isn't it? Oh, it's sticking right in your mind. See, it's right here. Manifest in the flesh, one person. All right, let's go on further. Apostate or apostle. An apostate preacher says there are three lords.
One is incomplete without the other. Can you imagine? I asked him about the equality. He admitted that the Son was not as great as the Father because the Father was the head of the Trinity. You heard him say it, didn't you? Yet Jesus said he thought it not robbery for him to be equal with God. Now, boy, you really stuck there. Man, you come up here and tell us how Jesus claimed to be equal with God, and you said the Father is greater than Jesus. Let that soak in. How many remember me saying in Revelation 1:8 that Jesus Christ said, I'm the first and the last. I'm Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending. He which was, which is to come. The third of mighty. The two-thirds of mighty. Is that what he said? I am the Almighty. Mr. Hill, did Jesus say he was the Almighty?
Boy, I'll knock you off your seat, won't I?
Mr. Hill, I charge him with preaching dead deity. He says Jesus is God, the Son. The Bible says he's the Son of God. He perverts the scripture from Monday night through Wednesday night every time he walks to this pulpit stand. He preaches the doctrine of inferior deity, and it's Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to see this chart if I have to hold it up higher. Look at this. The flesh is the Son. And he says God is the Son. So we believe the flesh is the Son. The flesh was human. The flesh was inferior. The flesh was weak. And the flesh died. Mr. Hill means God the Son was human. God the Son was inferior and didn't know so much. God the Son was weak, and God the Son died. Mr. Hill believes God died. How many minutes? He believes God died.